There are 2 days that are very important in my life, and not just two, but two specifically when my life began. One is March 4th, 1988, which of course is my birthday. The other is May 29th of the same year, 1988. That's the day I was baptized. These events forever have defined my life. How many of you guys know your birthday? I would hope everybody, right? How many of you know your baptismal birthday? We got a few. That's not bad. Well, today Jesus tells us about the importance of water and the Spirit. And so Jesus answered Nicodemus, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so here Jesus makes a distinction that there are two kinds of birth. One is, as he says, of the flesh, and the other is of the Spirit. And so we will take those two things in turn. We know how the first one works, right? The of the flesh birth. It is something that is common to all of us. Like I said, we all know what our birthdays are. Everybody who has ever been born has a birthday. Anybody who ever existed has a birthday. Even Jesus himself, who was born of the Virgin Mary, we celebrate his birthday on Christmas. Everybody has a birthday. And just like that, everyone has been given a certain amount of intellect or knowledge or ability to discern. That's built into humanity. And so we know that under normal circumstances, a woman will carry a baby for 9 months, and then that baby exits the womb and enters the world. Without this event, no one exists. So it's right for us to celebrate, right? With cards and cake and gifts and a special meal maybe or something, right? And as we grow up and as we continue to use our minds, we learn things. Like if I accidentally slip when I'm cutting something on the cutting board and I hit my fingers, I know it's going to hurt. Even if that pain doesn't set in for a few seconds yet, you still know, I know because I've experienced pain before and I've hurt myself before, that the pain is about to start, and there it is, right? We learn from an early age how math works, right? 2 + 2 = 4. I know that if I break the rules, there will be consequences for that. These are the kinds of things that we learn and that we can comprehend in this life from our flesh. And yet Jesus also talks about a second birth. And it's just as equally as important as the first, even though we don't always consider it that way. He says, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes even further to explain how you are born from above. He says it is by water and the Spirit. And he reiterates, and honestly, very stern words from our Lord here, right? A person cannot enter the kingdom of God without this water and Spirit birth. Now, this is important for us now. We know things according to our own flesh, but now let's remember who Jesus is talking to here. This is Nicodemus. He is a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, right, with the group of Jewish leaders were so concerned with following all of the traditions of the Jewish faith. And so this is why we as commonly associate these Pharisees with the self-righteous, right? Those who think that if they do it good enough, that they can then be saved. And honestly, they were really good at doing what was expected according to Judaism, according to the law that God had given, and in fact, all of the traditions of man that they had invented to kind of prop up God's law. The problem, though, for the Pharisees, is that they only lived the Jewish religion, not of the Spirit, but only of the flesh. This much is certainly clear from Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus here, right? Because, well, for one, Nicodemus is going to Jesus at night, which means in some regard, you know, he's a little bit embarrassed, or he doesn't want his colleagues at the very least to know that he is going to the Savior, to the Christ. But according to the flesh, what does Nicodemus say? I got to be born again? Well, how do I get back into my mother's womb? How do I do that? How can I accomplish this born-again task that you have now given me? And so Jesus, he has to spell it out quite plainly for Nicodemus. Your flesh, it isn't good enough. Your obedience, it isn't good enough. Your religion and all of your Pharisaical, you know, upholdings of the law, they're not good enough. And ultimately what it really boils down to is, Nicodemus, you are not good enough. It doesn't matter if Nicodemus was the greatest and most self-controlled person in the entire world. It doesn't matter if he was literally next in line to Jesus for being measured for perfection. None of that matters at all, because he doesn't have what it takes to enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't have the requirements that are necessary. This flies directly in the face of everything he knew as a Pharisee, everything he believed about what was right and wrong. And so it doesn't make sense to him. This born-again language, it doesn't make sense to Nicodemus, which, quite honestly, it proves Jesus' point. He's essentially telling Nicodemus, at this point in Nicodemus' life, you're only of the flesh. You can't discern the spiritual things. And when it comes to our flesh, we're certainly no different, right? We are of the flesh by nature. And one of those things of the flesh is that the law is written on our hearts. And so what we want to do by nature, according to our sin, is we want to do it all ourselves. So if I can live a perfect life, honestly, where does that ever lead a Christian but to feel like they're more pious than their neighbor? It leads them to stick their nose in the air and go, well, if everybody was just as good as me. When we feel like we're following God's law, we become the first to throw our stones when other people transgress. This is the life of a Pharisee. This is the life of the flesh. And even now that we have been born of the Spirit, because certainly all of you Christians here are, even well-meaning Christians will falter back into this way of thinking from time to time. That somehow I am the greatest Christian who has ever lived. When really what we should be saying is, I am the greatest Pharisee that has ever lived. Maybe even worse than that, though, is when we falsely believe that we can understand things on the same level as God. Because honestly, that's really what's at stake in this text. That's really what's at stake in Jesus' teaching here. Of the flesh or of the Spirit, when we think according to the flesh and we assume that somehow our minds are exactly like God's mind, and we try to use our flesh to reason and logic and understand things that are not of the flesh. It's hard for sinners like you and me to allow spiritual things to remain spiritual. And this is why we need God to remind us the importance of who He is. God is Spirit. And so He should be able to tell us spiritual things. And even if they don't make sense in the logic of our own puny little human minds, we should believe them anyway. Because He is God and we are not. Only when we come to this realization can we finally understand what Jesus says. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I already gave it away, right? Jesus is talking about baptism. Do I know how that works? Do I know how baptism, God takes a little bit of water and a few words, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just those simple words. And he combines those two things together. And yet he tells us that this gives us great gifts from God. How can that be? How can something so simple, something that seems so mundane and useless, how can that give us any benefit? And you know what? If you try to understand it by your own human mind, you will fail. But when you understand it according to God's word, then we're getting somewhere. But this topic, even baptism, it has created so much controversy even in the church. Do we baptize infants or not? Is baptism something I do for God, or is it something that God does for me? Does baptism actually forgive sins, or is it just some sort of outside, outward show of my Christian commitment to the Lord? In fact, I had this interaction with someone when I was in Fort Wayne, and I was talking much like this at a rehab facility for my field work, and this person came up to me and he goes, well, I don't need baptism because I have Jesus. Logically, that makes sense. But what does the Spirit, what does Jesus himself tell us? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He wants people to be born of the water and the Spirit, and therefore baptism is Spirit-filled. If we want to go to Paul, he explains it this way. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You see how this works? Baptism isn't something that we need in addition to Jesus. Baptism isn't some sort of like added on thing that takes away our faith from our Savior. No, baptism is just the opposite. It is what connects us to our Savior. When we are baptized, we are put to death just as Jesus was put to death. And we are raised to new life just as Jesus was raised to new life. It doesn't make sense. I don't feel like I died. I don't feel like I've been raised back to life. But that's what the Spirit testifies about. He has given me new life. Kind of like when someone is born and a new life begins. My friends, baptism gives us power to live these lives. Ones that aren't always focused on living a certain way or being perfect, but rather lives that find their substance and being in the crucified Jesus and what he has done for you through his life and death and resurrection. Baptism saves you not because it's an outward action, because it's something that God does for you. It's his promise to you. He connects you to Jesus' death and resurrection, and thereby your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood. It's a gift that is new for you every single day. Your baptism is a promise from God, a guarantee that the Holy Spirit has created faith in you, a guarantee that your sins are forgiven, a guarantee that you will inherit eternal life. Your baptism is the start of something new. And for this reason, we ask God that he would continually keep us in that. My friends, believe this by faith, not by reason, not by logic, not by the flesh. Because according to the flesh, it is mere water and mere word. But according to the Spirit, it is a gracious water of life and the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul tells us in Titus chapter 3. He saved us, not by deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. My friends, the Lord has offered you eternal life, and one such means by which he delivers it is in your baptism. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.